Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
Hello, everybody. My name is Subimboy. I'm sitting here with the fabulous Gareth Armstrong, and you're listening to Future CEOs right here on Cliff Central 2 to 3. And the last half an hour, we were just speaking to Myala. It was Better Urban Living, and I'm completely believe in them, and I love their vision to make a difference and to be innovative. And speaking of innovation, Gareth,
we've got a great show, but before we go into the show, I really like it when you say it that I look fabulous. I really like it. So
this is what I have to deal with, people.
You may continue.
So we're talking about innovation today.
Yeah, we've got innovation. We've got some great guests in studio.
Yes, you can carry on with that.
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to allow them to introduce themselves, because sometimes
we don't do them justice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't do them justice, but also they're humble. So they don't always want us to list this or give every accolade and. So let's start on our left here, my left, your left-ish, yeah? please, Joy, please introduce who you are. What do you do?
Well, as you said, my name's Joy. Mm-hmm. I work at a company called Angel Shack. I'm the MD of sales. Sorry, I thought you were asking me something. I'm the MD of sales there. And Angel Shack, in case people don't know, is an office furniture manufacturing company.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Pleasure.
We're moving across the table to directly in front of me, Zanele. Please tell everyone who you are.
Zanele Munahotla. And I'm an entrepreneur. I'm currently the MD of a company called FreeY.
Okay.
Which is in South Africa and is looking at or is involved in selling Wi-Fi services. And the whole philosophy behind FreeY is really about how do we reduce Wi-Fi and make it more accessible and affordable.
Love that.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Now, just you've got an interesting background. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Before I became an entrepreneur, I was in the innovation space for probably the last 5 years or so. I was heading up innovation in a company, in a DFI.
Okay.
And I got a lot of experience there. And also I was chairman of the South African Innovators Network for 2 years.
Okay, so you really, really know what you're talking about.
So she's the woman to speak to, the ladies to speak to.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then finally the rose amongst the thorns, is that correct?
Yeah.
William Mzimba, please introduce yourself to everyone.
Gareth, you make me blush. Yes, I'm William Mzimba. I have been the CEO of Accenture for the last 8 years. I've been with Accenture for the past 16 years.
Okay.
And as you would know, Accenture is a global company, and we focus our energies predominantly on working with our clients to help them bring about innovative solutions to different problems that they may have, with a very specific emphasis and focus on how we can leverage technology, specifically digital technologies, to make our clients innovate around the challenges that they're having. And we have a very large group of clients. We operate in the predominantly in the Fortune 500, top 100 categories of clients. Not okay. To say that we don't operate with small, medium enterprises.
Sure. I think we've got the right guests in the studio. Phoebe,
so
what do you think?
Definitely.
Okay, super. So ladies, I'm sorry, we would start with you, but I've got to just ask William about something. I was at your innovation conference, sitting in the third row from the front. I saw you on stage. You were looking really good, but you introduced something, hashtag innovement.
Right.
What is that?
Gareth, this is a movement around innovation.
Love it.
This is trying to get South Africa to have a national dialogue about innovation. And the reason why we want to do this is because we understand very well as Accenture that innovation is very important in growing nations. And where we are right now as South Africa, we require to innovate ourselves out of this possible decline that we are seeing in many aspects of our economy and many aspects of our socio-political areas. Mm-hmm. We can pick education as just one aspect. We are going to be spending over 630 billion rands in the next 2-3 years towards education. But when you look at the output, it doesn't match the amount of expenditure that we are putting in there. And we know that they're doing the same thing and hoping to get a different result doesn't augur well for where we are at. So our idea is, with an innovation movement, we can get to catalyze the entire South Africa to start thinking differently about the challenges and the problems that we have, thinking differently about how we're serving our customers, thinking differently how we produce what we have to produce, just like Angel Shack have done. They have innovated around office furniture.
Which is such an interesting space, because when someone says innovation office furniture, I don't really feel like they go hand in hand, but obviously they do, because you won one of the awards that was on offer.
Tell us more about that. Please. Tell us more about Angel Shack.
Well, Angel Shack went about their thinking when they first started. They thought about how boring office furniture is. Exactly like you were saying. I mean, what is it? It's a desk and a chair. But there's so much around. What we created was a brand around cool and simple workstations. So we went about thinking how people work, what they do, what they need, which is all about how you start with innovation, I guess. But for instance, desks are becoming much smaller because people don't have a lot of space. They need to reduce the amount of space to fit in more people while they innovate and create better companies. But the one idea that we developed was, we've developed a screening system where you can lift all accessories up onto the screen on a rail, so that your desk space becomes actual desk space instead of space to keep coffee cups and pens
I hate it how it gets so cluttered. So, okay, great.
Well, exactly. So these accessories they lift everything off your desk, even where you can put your coffee mug, so you don't spill it all over your stuff. And that's just one of the innovations that we've come up with. We've done it in the way that we produce as well. So our manufacturing process is done with certain board that is VOC free as well, that is important to the environment. We've done it with an antibacterial coating on top of the furniture, so that we try and keep germs as far away from people and making sick offices. So that's just three examples at the moment of how we are doing things differently.
Sister Nella, you know, with all your history and background in your career, and then you moved into being, you know, into innovation and an entrepreneur, do you think it's best when innovation is embraced by the people in the highest levels of an organization?
Yeah, no, thanks for that one. There's actually even been
because
studies.
You've got a lot of experience, you know. Yes, listening.
Yes, they say the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. So I did, obviously, when I did start in the role of being head of innovation, I did read a lot about it, but I actually did experience it. And innovation is one of those things where there's a lot of talk about innovation, and people don't know what is innovation. So when we say want to create, I mean, have an innovation culture or innovation movement or whatever, what is innovation? So everyone in that company, whatever, must know what we're talking about and then how to do it. So the leadership is actually the people that drive innovation in a company. And some studies have been done, and that is about 20 to even 60% of what will drive the innovation. So, I mean, if you look at a company and if the leadership is contributing to 60% or more of the culture in terms of
or
making
not, or people, not contributing.
Yes, yeah. Or not. Yeah, and that's probably the case in most companies. Absolutely. The leadership are not driving innovation, and that's why no one's innovating, because innovation is actually a very scary space to be. It's high risk. So, and high risk, so you can true. Also fail. And when you fail, if your boss is not there to back you, you are in deep, you know what.
You can say it's Cliff Central.
There you are in cock.
Yes. And radio, baby.
So that is the issue. And that's why you need leadership to say, you know what, if we're going to go into new areas, explore new things and do things differently, we got to, you know, take the risk. And we're actually using this as a learning experience. Yes. So there is nothing as failure. Failure is really taking a chance to know how to do things better. Because if you're going to uncharted territory, no one knows how to do it.
And you will make mistakes when you go into uncharted territory.
Was it Edison who invented the light bulb? Edison, you said, I've just discovered 10,000 ways not to make it work. Is that a really good way to talk innovation? Yeah. But you've raised a great, great point here, Zanella. What is innovation? So the world is changing constantly. There's always movement. There's always growth. So what? How do we actually define innovation?
And I'd like to forward that to you. And it's, for me, it's so important to have innovation that makes a difference in people's lives.
Mm,
and
absolutely.
I know that you are a big believer in education, as were our guests before us. So take us through your world of innovation, Bud William.
Yeah, I think firstly what I want to say is we mustn't mystify innovation.
Mm,
because
yes.
The reason why many people don't get into it is because it's clouded with a lot of mystique. And people think that I require an engineering PhD or a scientific this and that to be able to get into the innovation space. In fact, the greatest innovations that we are seeing today, like that creating multi-billion dollar businesses, came out of people that knew nothing about that field.
Mm-hmm.
And I could pick one. The biggest and largest e-commerce company today is run by Jack Ma, called Alibaba.
Mm.
Jack Ma knew nothing about computers. He's a teacher, right? And what he did is he saw that Chinese goods were not available worldwide, but here there were small, medium enterprises in China producing lots of very good quality products.
Absolutely.
That deserve to be in the entire world. And he said, if I just created a platform that will link these producers with these people who want access to the Chinese goods, I could have a business. And today, he's running a business that's worth more than $200 billion
in less than 10 years. Can I jump in there? Because I think also a lot of our listeners are young entrepreneurs who are really wanting to push their businesses. But in this particular case, he didn't picture $200 billion.
Absolutely.
All he did was create something that was servicing a need.
Yes.
And the need was so great that it then turned into $200 billion.
Yes.
I think that there's something there, or something to be said about that.
Spot on. Gareth, you're absolutely spot on. Most of the innovators do not start with, I want to be a billionaire.
Mm.
They start with, I want to solve a really simple problem, right? Or I want to solve a complex problem, but in a simple way.
Mm.
I want to address a need that I see in the market. We had at the innovation conference, Ludwig Marichal. His concept was, why do people spend such an inordinate amount of time taking a bath and wasting valuable resource called water? Can't I come with something that is simple, but it can solve the problem of why people take a bath? And he came up with a dry bath, right? So it cleans you equally as and sometimes better than taking a shower without wasting the water, the scarce water resource that we have.
So what we're going to do is we're going to get him on the show, and then in the studio here, we're going to all do a dry bath.
A dry bath.
Are you okay with that?
I'm cool with that.
Sorry, I interrupted you, William.
That could be very interesting. But yes, so let's define innovation. So
yes.
It's finding a new uses for something that's already there.
That's something that's already existing.
Exactly. So finding new uses. So we're not asking people to go blue sky gazing and invent new things like Thomas Edison did, Henry Ford did, and many other people, Albert Einstein. No, we're saying, look where you are today. Whether you are executing a simple process, the process could be I'm paying somebody. How best can I do that in a way that appeals to what the person I'm paying requires, either faster, you know, much more smoothly? How best if I'm a driver, how best do I make sure that I get where I have to get to incident free? Well, you can think about it in many places. I could innovate as a domestic. I could innovate as a gardener around how I do gardening. Then you can take it to the extreme end where you can innovate as a corporate, one, to stay in business, two, to improve your product, improve your service, or improve the entire process of how you go about manufacturing office furniture, for example, selling office furniture. So innovation distilled to its lowest levels can happen anywhere and can be done by anyone.
Joy, your opinion, your feeling around the definition that we've just received?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's spot on. Innovation comes from being curious. If you're curious as someone, you will find out ways to do things differently, and you will ask the right questions. And the right questions are not about what do you want? It's why do you want something? Henry Ford, if he'd asked everybody what they wanted, he would have got back the answer, I want a faster horse,
not a car,
which is what he's famous for saying. But we would never have got the car if that's where we got to. And by asking the right questions, why is that a problem? Why do you need that? Which came from what he was saying that day at your conference, was that people battled to get water as well. They had a problem with access to water, and that's where his product also came from. So it is really around being curious. And for me, that's one of the stumbling blocks that people think they have for being innovative, is that they don't have the money, they don't have the time, they don't think of products. So I don't do products. And products is one part of innovation,
absolutely,
just like you were saying.
Yes.
It's around service and process and other things. And if you're curious and you ask the right things, you can create the right.
Sister Nella, do you agree with the term that the greatest innovators of our time would be the Bill Gates and the Discoveries and the Microsofts? Or in Africa, can we have our own big innovators? You know, what do you think of that? Can we reach those levels of innovation?
I think we could probably even do better.
I agree.
Yes, we can do better. I think as South Africans and even on the continent, we're very, very creative people. I think our only challenge is moving from creativity to using those very good ideas to have commercializable products.
Yes.
And that is where I think, that's what the disjuncture of where we're not able to make money off our innovations.
Yes.
But I think, I mean, even in terms of the music industry, I mean, I think we've innovated ourselves into leading, I think, in hip hop and in all these other genres from virtually nothing. I mean, so I think as a country, we are very, very creative. And then we've also, I mean, we've got Mark Shuttleworth, Elon Musk, I
love that.
Sia Kruse,
yes,
who even has a planet named after her.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've got a lot going for us. If we could just do more of how to teach people throughout the country of how to take a good idea and make it into a fundable business. So that's a link, I think, moving from just innovating for the sake of innovating and now innovating to create sustainable businesses.
I like this point.
Mm. That's what we need to do.
I like to tag on the point because this is the reason why we're starting the innovation movement. Hashtag Innovement. We want everybody tweeting, blogging, Yammer, Facebook, everything. Why? Because we want to simplify it. We want to distill it to a point where it becomes a conversation. Mm. Where people can talk about, I've got an idea, where can I go? And everybody knows, when I have this idea, this is where I go. I have an idea, how can I protect it from being stolen?
Absolutely.
So, you know, registering a patent. You know, I want to publish something I really thought about, and I think this is groundbreaking. This is a simple way in which you can cut a YouTube video to publish what you want to do, because that adds to the body of knowledge around somebody picking that up and say, hey, I didn't realize based on this I could do this. The best innovations have happened when people went sitting in a room and say, now I want to innovate.
Yeah. Yes.
Best innovations have come when people have seen things and said, hang on a minute, I think I could do this and that, and this could result in that. And I think there's a market for this, and here's the business model. If I think about Elon Musk, how he thought about, about his space company, they were stuck in a traffic, and they were driving, and all of a sudden they started talking about what would it be like to land a man in Mars? And that's how it started. And today he's shuttling people and goods between here and the space, the International Space Station, and he's making money out of it because he was curious enough to say, "Why can't I build a rocket that is cheap, that's reusable?" And then from there, out of that curiosity, then he started unpacking: what does it cost to build a rocket? What would I need to make it happen? And who would buy this thing that
Absolutely.
I want to offer? And voila, he set up a multi-billion dollar business just out of that.
Well, I think with some of these examples, there might be some of our listeners that say, well, it's easy for them because they had a good base from which to work from. So let's talk quickly about to all of those of our listeners who are leading organizations, whether they are a Fortune 500 or whether they are the man on the side of the road effectively selling his goods. And let's just give them a couple of skills that you really need to lead an innovative organization. Let's talk about the skills needed for leading an innovative organization, because there's a difference there. You as an individual can be innovative, But what do you need to do to lead an innovative organization?
You have to be open to okay. ideas. Because I think
teamwork, joy.
Yeah, and as we were saying just now, if the leader isn't about innovation, the company will never be about innovation. Mm. And the leader needs to, and the management team needs to be open to new ideas and hearing things. Because when the customer starts talking about things that they want, that's when you have to start listening and feed that into your R&D departments or into your brain for you to think further on it.
Okay, yeah. Zanella.
Also, I think I definitely agree with that. I think that is probably the most important one is to listen and to hear. And also being open-minded and knowing that innovation is actually up going into uncharted territory. And what does it take to lead when you don't know? Because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Because you've got to listen to your clients. You've got to look at trends and use all of that then to determine what course the company is going to take. But it's not one individual that makes that decision. It's you as the CEO, whoever, but being listening to what the clients want, because remember, all of this is also about client, being customer centric, serving your clients, and they are, you know, the reason why a company exists. So you've got to hear what they want and be able to service them. And also listen to your staff, because your staff probably know a lot more about your clients than you probably might know yourself. So listening and hearing all of that and being open to experimenting and trying out new things. And it's all about really experimentation and trying out in small and then, you know, developing it and growing it from that. And that those are very, very important aspects and skills. And what you actually need is that because I think in South Africa we haven't really done that much innovation. A lot of management is probably still old school, where the leader says, I know it all.
Yeah.
Don't argue with me.
William, are you a know-it-all?
Well,
sorry to put you on the spot, of course.
No, no. Gareth, thanks. I think I know it all is the biggest killer of innovation.
Absolutely.
As a leader, you need to be able to create and inculcate a culture where ideas can be generated from the bottom up.
Love that.
But at the same time, you need to have the ability to support and lift these ideas from top down, right?
Lack of innovation can kill you.
It kills you. We have seen big enterprises die because of lack of innovation. I mean, the recent example is Kodak. Everybody talked about the Kodak moment. And here came digital cameras on phones. You know, a $28-30 billion business, poof, gone. Just like that. So if you aren't able to embrace that sense of community and the culture of being able to allow people to create, to ideate and to be creative, and you are not able to, from the top, create the right structure that allows people that those ideas can manifest into something, then you are not going to be a successful leader.
All right, we're running out of time again. I love these conversations because time just flies because we're learning so much.
I'm so empowered and so motivated and so inspired right now.
Fantastic. Here's one last question. So let's go around the room and see if we can pick two or three of these. I'm a young leader. I'm standing in front of my team right here. We need to be innovative. I realize, as you say, we can't now put ourselves into that headspace and say, let's be innovative and just wait for things to happen. What quick questions can I ask to get instant innovation out of my team right there, right now? Joy?
Why?
Why?
That's the most important question. If you're talking about anything new, why do you want a smaller desk? Why do you want more space on a smaller desk? Why do you want a chair that can move so that you can fit it in properly and actually your back can sit ergonomically correctly for yourself? All those whys help you get to a better solution.
I heard a great quote. Tell me sufficiently why I ought to do a thing and I will move heaven and earth to do it.
Exactly.
Zanelli, what are your thoughts?
For me, the important thing is really, you know, you don't want to do innovation for innovation's sake. Because I think if we sit here and say, let's innovate, I mean, we'll come up with a million ideas very, very fast. So it's about what are the most important aspects that we want to address. I mean, go to your clients and ask your clients and ask them what they would like you to innovate around. What are the big problems that you need to solve? and then come back and then say, let's innovate around that. I'm not saying that you won't get good ideas. I mean, I've had good ideas where you're in the shower or also when you're very disgruntled or very unhappy.
I hate those because they're fleeting. They disappear as you start drying yourself.
Normally they're also very good ideas because the problem that if you can come up with a solution with. And also the other important thing is also to make it financially sustainable and to be able to make money out of it. Because if you're not able to convert an idea to something that's sustainable, then I think we're all wasting our time.
Mm. Correct. Okay. William, a final thought from you before we have to go?
Look, curiosity is the mother of inventions here, right?
Very nice.
In terms of innovation. And I like to say the question people have to continue to ask is, where is the market imperfection?
Mm. Okay, very nice.
At that intersection and where you see the gap in terms of market imperfection, innovation is meant to solve that, and it's probably going to make you a multi-billionaire.
Sure.
Klubi, final thought?
Innovation has the ability to give us exponential growth as individuals, as businesses, and as Africa.
And let me just quote someone very, 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 very important. He's also sitting in the room here. Why are we talking innovation today? Because we care. Because we care. This is Future CEOs. It's been great being with you, Joy, Zanele, William. Thank you for being
thank
on the
so
show.
Thank you so much.
We've loved this conversation. All right, guys, same time, same place next week. We'll see you then. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye, everyone.